Hi, Slip Angle listeners. This is Rob from Fields Auto Works and Fields Engineering. We're really excited to be supporting great content on Slip Angle, and we hope you'll find your way over to our social media pages to see some of the exciting work that we're doing. Fields Auto Works has Cardinal coupes being delivered and Scioto coupes in build for testing this summer, with more exciting models on the near horizon. If you're ready for supercar performance for under $70,000 or professional prototype speed for under $150,000, stop by fieldsautoworks.com to see what we offer. At Fields Engineering, we have openings for major builds, arrive and drive customers, and medium to large engineering projects. We have capabilities ranging from whole composite body scratch builds to 3D scanning and printing to trackside support. We're also thrilled to be supporting Regular Guy Racing with Colton Wade driving in GLTC and the exciting new Future Frontrunners initiative to promote women in club racing. As a Fields customer, you get the combined experience of IndyCar builders, IMSA veterans, aerospace engineers, and lifetime racers working on your next big endeavor. If that sounds like a team you're interested in working with every day, you can also contact us about our open shop positions. Find Fields Auto Works on social media and at fieldsautoworks.com, and find Fields Engineering on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Slip Angle Podcast. Let's bitch about it on a podcast. What's up, Jason Tipple?
Not much, buddy. How you been?
I had a day. It was not the best day. It sounds like you didn't have the best day either, and we were both building Sunday Cup cars.
Yes, on Sunday, which is ironic.
Yeah, it was spelled differently, but same sound. Sunday versus Sunday. So what are you doing? You're building what it seems like Facebook thinks is the highest budget Sunday Cup car.
Well,
probably not though.
Yeah, it's probably not. No, actually, it's still less than what a 2007 Fit is going for with 180,000 miles.
Yeah, are they really that stupid expensive now? Like a nice one?
I think it's 12. Is like the realistic number.
Like a nice one though.
Yeah, I think Abe's car in the real world is probably worth $10,000.
That's so dumb, dude. Dude, I paid $2,500 for my car. I could probably, like, I've had offers for $6,000. And I'm, like, thinking of maybe I should sell it for $6,000.
But then what do you replace it with?
An F-250 that I kind of want to turn into a ramp truck.
Well, your F-250, $7,000 goes towards about 2/3 of the front interior that you want to do onto the truck.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I might have some high hopes for that truck. Did I tell you what that truck has, like mileage-wise?
It has, like, what, 20,000 miles of airstrip?
No, so I actually, so the truck that I bought this truck on govplanet.org or whatever, and I probably talked about it like 10 podcasts, 20 podcasts ago, but I'm planning on putting a 5.9 Cummins in it. It's got a 6-liter power stroke in it right now that doesn't run because the FICM is out of it. And it didn't have any keys or ignition, so I bought like a keys and ignition set, like OEM Ford stuff on eBay. You can buy those for like $100. And I dragged it back front. It's got no rust. It's so clean underneath. It's ridiculous. It's an 07 F-250 quad cab, 8-foot bed, 2-wheel drive, which is a hard spec to find. It's the one that I wanted. And I put the new ignition in it and hooked up a battery to it. It's got 41,000 original miles. I'm real.
Averaging 17 miles an hour, probably.
Dude, literally, this thing has done 2,500 miles a year. It's probably just like weed whipped at the Air Force Academy, and I'm pretty stoked about that. But
as a non-Ford guy, I'm so excited for you.
Well, it's gonna be just Ford makes a good truck back then, but the motors were a little sus. But I'm a good truck, good trans. I'm gonna buy an adapter kit, put the 5.9 in front of it, and I want it to blow cold AC, and I want to put like a King Ranch or like a Harley Davidson interior in it. And after driving Carson's Denali, I want to put like a nice ball cooler seat on it that's got like the AC that blows off, you know, blows straight up into the nuts. That's the only thing that I want.
I think those things, I think the controllers and everything are actually in the base of those seats too, so it shouldn't be that hard to, I mean, if you can wire a Haltech into an EF, you can get ball coolers.
I might need to buy some Denali seats instead, dude. That Denali was so nice. It was like a swampy weekend coming to and from Lime Rock. And we're towing the dyno in this like 2017 Denali. And you just tap a button on the dash and your nuts are like cold and you're like, good grief, this is America, dude.
It's like, all my cars suck.
Oh man, what have I done? The choices that I have made in vehicles are terrible. This is the unit, dude.
You finally paid off the entire business. Screw it, we're going back into debt.
Yeah, might need to get some debt.
$100,000 pickup truck makes sense right now.
Man, yeah, dude, it's about $100,000 worth of gold bond right there. That's all it is.
Yep.
So good, dude. It was so good. So what if you're struggling with an EG, a four door?
Yep. Kevin Goo's old car that he found in Oregon. After I think a 4 or 5 month exhaustive search,
it's a nice looking purple four door EF.
Yes.
What
the crazy thing is that?
What are you and Jimmy Rock doing with that thing?
It had a set of whiteners on it. We swapped over to the Koni 8041 race dampers. Spring rates are going to go up a little bit, but just new control arms with new bearings and bushings and all that stuff. So basically just freshening it up.
Right.
Kevin had actually had a ton of spare parts with it. He had an ASR rear bar. It wasn't installed, and he had a bitchin' Apex-y Dunk knockoff exhaust system. So that's going to go on. So we will have the full Ricer fart can
nice.
Out the back.
All 95 horsepower worth of fart can.
Yeah. Well, your dyno is very strange. That's all I'll say.
My dyno is dead on, dude.
As long as it doesn't change, we're perfect.
It hasn't changed all year. It's been real solid, man. It's been real solid. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did a base pull on it at Aaron Byram. We actually picked up the car at a Toledo local autocross event, and then Aaron was so excited he came and grabbed it and did a baseline pull.
Aaron from Pure Tuning.
Aaron from Pure Tuning, yeah. So, and we now know the base number that we can go off of on his side.
He runs a Mustang dyno, though, right?
He's got a Mustang dyno, which is, ironically enough, somewhat of a heartbreaker. But it was surprising. I'm like, are you sure? Now, granted, we didn't have... When we bought the car from Kevin, it didn't have the wheels that he dynoed the car with, and he... So it came on the 15 or the 13 inch steelies, which weigh like 8 pounds.
Right.
So those numbers are, I'm sure, off by at least 10 to 15 horsepower.
That's a lot. It's a constant weight. Once you get that weight spinning, it's spinning.
Yeah. But yeah, I won't say what the numbers are, but they're just, I'm like, as long as we know what it began with, and if we tweak with it, we know we've got a range to mess with. So.
Yep. I think you'll be in better shape than you think you're going to be.
Yeah, because I don't think the car was that far off. And, you know, I think Kevin's initial setup was pretty good. I just want to tweak it a little bit with the stuff that I know from my years of autocrossing with EK chassis and stuff like that. So, right. Yeah, you know.
Yep. So this car, like, how did this car come about? You told me a story, and... my co-host is not on this podcast, so I think you should tell the story. Why did you guys buy this car?
Well, it's all Abe's fault technically. So what happened was it was this season, and Abe was making a comment talking about, well, Jimmy was finishing up running his GT2 RS, and Abe said, well, you know, it's impressive that you're able to run 127s at Mid-Ohio, but I don't think you could be within 2 seconds of the fast guys in Sunday Cup, which we thought he was joking, and I think he was just I understand what he was saying. I think some of the delivery is a little bit off. I think what he was saying is the guys in Sunday Cup are fast, which we're well aware that they're actually very quick.
Well, it's also a very different driving style and something.
Right.
He probably
it's
hasn't
momentum
driven that.
And everything else. Yeah.
Total, like, opposite car.
Opposite car. So, you know, but Jimmy's like, so you're saying I can't run 127s at Mid-Ohio, but, or I can run 127s rather in Mid-Ohio, but I don't think I can run a 149 in a Sunday Cup car. He's like, you know what? You're on, Abe. So we tried to actually buy Abe's car, but Abe's in this weird paradox where he either wants to buy a Civic Type R or a Prius, depending on the day. He's worried about fuel mileage. So instead of buying his Fit, we ended up, Kevin had built this car, which I was really, you know, I still think that these are neat cars. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Kevin listed it for sale. We sent him a message, and it was basically, we had an agreement on the car within probably 30 minutes of him listing it. So
Abe's a paradox. He's it doesn't make any sense, the things that he wants in life. Like, he lusts for the dumbest things. He wants a brand new Civic Type R, and then he also wants a brand new Prius, and he can have one or the other, and he's not sure what he wants.
I love the guy.
And he's also got, like, he's got a full Sunday Cup car that he dailies.
And he dailies.
And
the winning formula helps that. I mean, and I think with a set of wheels, the car should be, you know, driven at the limit. I mean, it should be as fast as.
Yeah, but then he flies to events. Doesn't bring the
sold his bus.
Doesn't bring the car, and he flies to events because he can't get the time off at work. Oh, Abe, I don't know. Yeah, and then he tells the guy who literally gets, like, FTD at second from FTD at Mid-Ohio that, yeah, you probably can't keep up with Matt Williams.
He's like, really?
Although,
okay.
Although he might be right, because, like, it's a totally different skill set, and this is the experiment that we're in. Like, now
that's
we...
That's the whole point,
yeah. Now we get to find out. And then I started jokingly talking shit to you about...
our fake rivalry.
Yeah, we gotta have a fake rivalry. I think we need to
absolutely.
Yeah, and but then neither one of us is on social media enough to, like, actually have a rivalry. So
I've tried to post stuff, but it doesn't hit nearly the way I expected on Sunday Cup.
Well, that'll happen.
I was talking to Jim about it online, you know, and he's like, "Yeah, the Sunday Cup guys are pretty serious about stuff." I'm like, "Really?" It doesn't seem like it. He said, "Well, there's a vocal minority that are sarcastic online." I'm like, okay, that makes more sense.
It's less than you think, yeah. But,
I still haven't been approved on the Sunday Cup internal chat. So,
has anybody else tried to add you or no?
I think Jim tried to, but it needed to be approved by one of the moderators.
Okay, well, I'm sure after talking on this podcast, somebody listening will make that happen. But I didn't know there were moderators. I don't know how Facebook Messenger works. Like, I don't even have a Facebook anymore.
I know you're going back into troglodyte mode.
It's kind of nice though, dude. I mean, when I'm so, like, you know, everybody goes on the internet while they go to the bathroom, and they're, like, sitting down on the toilet, and they're like, oh, I'll just go on. And then you, like, pull up the thing that you were going to go on, and you're, like, not on there anymore, and you're like, oh, what else? Oh, forums are dead. Guess I'll check my email, but I did that while I ate breakfast. And then all of a sudden you, like, put your phone down, and you're like, guess I don't have any internet to go through. And it's also the best.
It's the
best.
It's cold out, and the windows are missing out of this house in Chicago.
I should probably get back to work.
Get that thing done.
but also, like, I've found myself getting back into flow states, which was a thing that was, like, pre-Facebook. I would get into flow states at work and be like, all of a sudden 5 hours just disappeared. And the other day I missed a call with a track in Utah, and then the day before that I missed a call with a track somewhere else. We're trying to set up, like, potentials for, like, the next couple of years for tracks.
Yeah.
And it's like,
to LA or Miller Motorsports Park.
Yeah, I'm, like, not pulling my phone out of my pocket. And I like miss calls because I get these Google alerts and like, ah, dang. Crap.
I feel a little guilty when I send you messages during the day, but I'm like, he's online anyway.
Well, if I'm online, I'm online. But if I'm not online, like, I might not be online for hours. It's kind of the best. But I also, like, I am kind of screwing up some of my my needs to do things. But what are you going to do? It'll happen. So what'd you break on this EG already? You broke much stuff today.
I'm trying to get the seatbelts in on the driver's side B-pillar, the bottom of the base where the, you know, the factory seat. We were, you know, obviously even with the race seats. Yep. I took one of the Sparco seats out of my STH Civic, my 2019, since it's kind of race season is pretty much over. I just took the driver's seat out of the car. Kevin had put a tube frame Sparco, which was meant for smaller people than my large Scandinavian, as you said, frame. So, had taken the 17 millimeter head bolt out and in and out probably a dozen times trying to get the right amount of washer stacks. And, I threaded it in by hand a little bit and I just zapped it on with my Milwaukee Impact and it felt a little weird, and then it got really stiff, and I'm like, oh, God. Then 2 hours later, after running a tap through it.
It's the worst feeling, dude.
It's like, I've had this thing out literally a dozen times. The seat's been in and out of the car probably 10 times, just trying to get everything appropriate with, you know, we got a set of Seybelt 6 points, you know, for the Hans, you know, just to be on the safe side. That was a frustrating 2 hours.
It's the worst, dude. Yeah.
I'm like, I am not waving the surrender flag. I am not drilling this out and running a riv nut or running an insert or
whatever you call those things.
Yeah, I'm having a brain fart here. Sorry. So
time shirt. Whatever you call it.
There's time shirt's actually pretty cool.
What's the other one?
The time shirts are really nice because they're really binding well, but so kind of back together, but ironically enough on every other aspect of it for a 1994 Civic DX sedan from Oregon, every single bolt that's come off the car has been flawless.
You've sent me some pictures of that thing and it looks real solid. Really, really solid.
The zinc coating is still on the rear control arm or rear upper control or camber rods.
That doesn't make any sense.
None whatsoever. My 2019 looks way worse, and my 2019's never been in the snow.
It's a 30-year-old car, and it's like
in nice shape. Yeah, so, you know, and it's got 288,000 miles, but if you take the oil cap off of it, I'm like, I don't understand what. I don't understand this car.
Is it silver underneath? Like the you can see like the number 4 rocker there. What's it look like?
Oh yeah, and it's like it's not even brown.
Really?
I don't understand it at all.
The car was loved.
Yeah, I mean, there's no oxidation. There's no, you know, it's obviously it's. I don't think it's ever really seen snow whatsoever. I mean, there's no. So, but yeah, it's gonna get a new clutch in it just to be on the safe side. And freshen up the car.
What are you putting in there?
Just an XD Stage 1, the single sport series. Actually, I've got the box in front of me. Yeah, it's just a Stage 1 sport kit organic. So, you know, just off-the-shelf stuff. So, it's nothing really crazy on the car at all. So
today I was putting together my car, which previously had just had cut, like, springs and... I chopped one full coil off of all the springs, and that was like the extent of my prep besides the sway bar and brakes. And
I've heard the stories. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I might did pretty good, and I put some new tires on it, obviously. Some new, I did 14s in the rear, 15s in the front. And then I thought, well, I guess we're 2 weeks out from Heartland. Better start working on this car, right? And I had got Tom O'Gorman's old B-spec stuff, like his old B-spec Bilsteins, and a bunch of springs and a bunch of crap. And like, because Mark, who now owns that car, which they lovingly call Claptrap.
It's a K24.
Yeah, they put a K-swap in it. We drove it at Daytona a bunch of years ago, and Mark drives it in. Mark does TA, and he does HPD. Dude, I had a wild ride in that car in Daytona.
With Jimmy Hotown driving.
So I get in the car. I'm subbing for Mike Puglisi because he was, like, getting nauseous or hot or something, and he just didn't enjoy it. So he's like, hop in. And so I was, like, the backup driver. And I think Houghton had gotten on the passenger side front, and he'd taken the wheel off. And then the brake rotor immediately snapped. And he put our backup wheels, which were like 245 Rivals, and we were on 205 Nexans. And he put a 245 Rival on the right front, and I had a 205 Nexan on the left front. And then he gets in my window, and he said, the brake rotor snapped as soon as I took the wheel off. And I was like, well,
you'll be fine.
We're endurance racing. Let's see how it feels. And I had never driven this car, and I had never driven Daytona. And this is like before, this is like 20, this is 2018, 19, maybe early 2019. And I'd never been on iRacing. I'd never driven Daytona. And I'm like, well, let's see how it feels. And I hadn't realized that there was not a 245 on my left front as well. And I go out, and I'm following, like, the slowest cars of this Champ Car race. And so I get a nice warm-up, and I pass them all as soon as I get on the banking. I get out of the infield. I get on the banking. I do the bus stop without barely braking because I just passed, like, a VW Bug, like an old-school air-cooled Bug. And so I don't tap the brakes at all, and I don't tap the brakes at all around NASCAR, whatever the fuck those turns are. And the sun is in my eyes, so I'm taking, like, the shittiest stint. The sun is dropping over the backside of the track.
So you're blind.
So I'm totally blind. I put my hands in front of my face to, like, make this turn. And also, this car, like, if you pussyfoot this car, like, if you don't beat the shit out of it, it's running on, like, K-Pro or something, and it goes into limp mode if you're not wide open throttle. You have to beat the shit out of this car. But if you, like, half throttle this car, it, like, goes into limp mode and you have to cycle the key.
Oh, perfect.
No,
perfect,
it's great. It's real good. It's fine. But it's not fine if you are driving like a bitch. So I'm going around and I'm approaching, like, turn one into the infield for my first time ever, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going pretty fast because, like, you do half of Daytona, half of the oval. Even after the bus stop, you're doing like half of the oval. And I'm going like, I don't know, like a buck 25. I have no idea, but it's fast. This car's not slow. It's pretty quick. It's a stock TSX motor, but we're going pretty fast. And I just go for the brakes and the pedal just bounces off the floor. Like, it just goes thunk. It, like, literally made a thunk noise. Like, bonk. This is my first time ever driving a Fit. And my first time ever driving this car, and my first time ever driving Daytona. And I'm supposed to be the reliable guy who's not going to crash the car.
Well, James told you there was an exploded rotor.
So obviously we had a rotor that was knocking the pedal back, right? And so I immediately thought, oh, fuck. And so I pulled, I right foot pulled the pedal up, and I pump, pump, pump. And like three pumps, it came back. So I know I've got knocked back. And I hit the brakes real hard. I'm hitting the brakes in my wife's Lexus right now because I'm sitting in the wife's Lexus, which is the studio. Hit the brakes real hard, and then the entire car goes into a left-leaning full four-wheel lockup, right? And I've got more grip on the right front, and like everything just gets weird. It just got – and then I immediately went right back to throttle because that's what you have to do to save – like, when everything goes bad, you either have to, like, look where you want to go and go brake, or you have to go throttle, and you make that choice. And I looked where I wanted to go, and I hit wide open throttle. And I felt like the Chris Forsberg Vaughn Gittin Jr. This car is sideways. I'm full lock, and I turned into, like, the infield turn one or whatever, the left-hander, dropping down in, and I drifted the entire thing. And I remember locking eyes completely through my front windshield with the corner worker off to the left. And his eyes were like, well, like he had this like, oh, oh, that like Indiana, like, oh, like look on his face, his like head cocks to the left. And I just stayed in it because all I could do was stay in it.
And we could have been a red flag or a thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm either going to crash the fuck out of this Honda Fit or I'm going to feel like a hero. And I got on the radio about one turn later, and I had like my blood pressure spiking. I'm like seeing spots. And I hadn't slept in 2 days. We're driving my shitty old motorhome down to Daytona in the windstorm. It was terrible. And we got all the season champions from 2018 or whatever. 2018, 19, I don't know. And
it was like 10 years ago now.
Yeah, it feels like two lifetimes ago. And like I want this, I just want to finish we're like 8 hours into this event, right? We got to go 14 hours and then we're done. And my blood pressure, it feels crazy and I'm seeing spots and I get onto the infield again and I had not crashed. And I get on the radio with Mike and Chris Miller from Power Stop at the time, who's now with ECU Master. And I said, brakes are real bad. Pedal went to the floor. Everything's fucked up. And they were like, we need two laps. we had all the spares, right? And so I'm going into every braking zone doing like 12 taps on the brakes, like with my left foot as I'm wide open throttle with my right foot, trying to like tap the brakes to come back. And as soon as they get firm, then I go right foot and we go brakes, right? And
you needed a horseshoe out of a horseshoe brake pedal out of a sprint car, dude, so you could tap it back in.
Dude, just tap, tap, tap. It was like I'm going up the straightaway, approaching the bus stop. And it's like, brick, 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 but I'm not actually, I'm just trying to keep the pedal pressure because this broken-ass rotor is kicking the pedal back. And just tap, 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 tap. I did like 20 taps. Just light, 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 and then hard tap, and then back to wide open throttle. And then you just do the whole left-hander banking, and then you're going to turn one. Tap, 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 tap. I did like 3 or 4 laps in a row. And then they called me in. They're all ready. And they swapped the rotor. And I go back out on the old Nexans because, like, the stagger setup in the front is not working. This car is turning weird.
it would definitely turn left very well.
It was, yeah. So, thankfully, my hardest braking zones are lefts. but it was not doing wonders for anything. Like, everything was bad. And then I proceeded to drive about an hour during the dark, like the day to dark stint, which is like terrible because the sun is setting over the backside of the track. And so I did the shittiest stint, but man, it was so fun. And that's the first time I drove a Honda Fit. And if that was the last time I drove a Honda Fit, I would still love Fits. But today I don't love Fits because, man, I fought my Fit. I still love my Fit, but
I like the cross hatching on the threaded portion of those B-spec Bilsteins.
Dude, so I got the Bilsteins out of that car that we just talked about, and everything is cross threaded. Everything is wrecked. The shocks and struts on that car were shot, and they were gonna be my stopgap. I was gonna put Fortune 510s in this thing next year, right? And I'm just today I ordered a die for my passenger side front, and my passenger side rear, the shock had a big old dent in it because who knows what we or somebody else did to that thing. I pushed the shock down.
Houghton probably punched it. That's
dude,
what he did.
Yeah, he just Canadian anger punched that thing, dude. Like, I pushed the one of them down, and I was like, oh, that feels fine. It seems like the right rate. It should retract at that rate. It should compress at this rate. You know, all the things. Like, it feels fine. And then I pushed the other one down, and like it just didn't come back. And then I spun it around. I'm like, oh, that's a quarter inch deep dent.
Yeah, but
that's gonna. And these are like Bilsteins that they got Honda on that. Like they say Honda on them, and I'm like, these are cool, man. Why are they so screwed up? I'm so sad. They're literally HPD B-spec Bilstein P14s.
It was like $2,000, I think, originally, like 1895 or something.
Like they made, yeah, they made like 20 of them back in the day. But
yeah,
So I'm working my way towards the shock install on this thing and doing a wheel bearing refresh up front, doing ARP studs. Probably do a wheel bearing refresh in the rear soon and ARP studs in the rear. But I found a lot of stripped out, a lot of broken stuff. Everything is rustier on bolt wise than I wanted it to be. But yeah, I broke an ABS sensor. So it's been a day.
Yeah,
it's been a day. Yeah, it's been a day.
Sounds like a typical, pre-race schedule weekend for most people. Actually,
I'm so glad I didn't start like next weekend.
You mean like Thursday morning when you're unpacking at Heartland? It's like, let's see what we got here.
Yeah, let's. I actually almost did the shocks at Midwest. I like brought them with. And I was like, nah, I don't think we're going to do this. And I've never looked at them. Like, I got them in, like, June, and I never looked at them.
Well, ironically enough, Abe is right about preventative maintenance with you.
Yeah. Well, I'm like 2 weeks.
He's wrong about everything else.
I'm 2 weeks out on an event. And I just got my new coolant line for the bus. I'm all changing stuff on the bus now, preventing some maintenance needs on the side of the road. But yeah, Colby, Kansas. When I found a coolant leak in the bus, that was fun. But yeah, it's been a deal, man. We're almost to the end of the year, and I just want to go fast one time and beat a Tipple and a Rauch, dude. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, we'll see. It should be good.
It's not looking good, dude.
Well, I'm sure if we do well, I mean, it will be automatically that the double wishbone cars are the devil, they're not.
I mean, we've seen so I spent some time on the ST committee for road race stuff on SCCA, and obviously I've spent a bunch of time in the GLTC rules world because I started them and I have maintained them, and I don't think that if you get your camber right, I don't think that struts are a disadvantage. But
no, absolutely not. I think if you spring it right, and you've got the dampers that can work.
Yep.
You know, and I think the advantages that the double wishbone cars have are somewhat outweighed by the fact that the L15, even though this is rather ironic for me saying, the fit actually has quite a bit of torque.
Well, it also probably has a better gearing ratio than yours.
Better gear ratio, yeah. And the ABS on the fits are actually pretty damn good.
They're incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stop so well.
Yeah, whereas with these cars, it's like, yeah, they've got double wishbones, but if it's 25-1, and I think you're gonna ultimately, it makes the braking a lot more difficult from our standpoint, not being able to just stand on the nose when we need to make the ABS work.
Well, I look at it this way, like, so you get a static 3.25, and I don't know what you get in the curve, but. Like a fit, you want like a static 4 camber negative. And it's just going to always have that. Like your body roll will change, but also the body roll in the EG changes as well. We're talking like a 1 degree difference here versus there. Like sometimes it's better in the camber sweep and the curve. But also we're talking like if your spring rate's right, you're like not given, like you're not getting a lot of change. Like we're splitting hairs. Like it's not a lot.
Yeah.
It's all about like spring rates, sway bars, initial setup, like alignment, and how fresh are your tires and how bad of a motherfucker are you? Like it's not it's not that big of a deal. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think setup wise, I think I've put together some pretty darn competitive autocross cars here in the past 10 or 15 years or so. So, I mean, I think, obviously autocrossing and road racing are very different, and yet they are pretty similar, especially when you're in the Sunday Cup,
Yeah, in the low horsepower.
Terminal velocity. Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah. You know, the joke that we've always said, a Sunday Cup car is just like, if you ever panic and go off, I'm like, dude, just lift off the throttle. You're only going 70.
Yep.
It's okay. Just turn the wheel. It'll be okay.
How did you do at Solo Nats this year?
Well,
seemed like you did pretty well.
The car did incredibly well. Devin Taylor has been co-driving with me for the last 2 years, and he won by...
What is your car, by the way?
It is a 2019 Civic Si. That it's a sedan that I built. I actually bought the car in 2019 and ran it in G Street with temporary tags, and finished, I think, 9th or 10th. And then when I came home, I put my motion control double remotes on and converted it to a street touring hatch, or street touring hot, STH. And it's been basically an STH car. Last year at Nationals, Devin coned away a national championship. This year, he won by 2.3 seconds, which...
So much.
It is crazy. I coned away and drove like crap. We should have been 1-2, but I finished 5th. I stood on my first run on day 2 and just coned away what would have been, you know, at least have me back up into 3rd. But
that's a huge margin.
He was actually top. He ended up top packs on Thursday, Friday,
right,
course, and ended up 17th overall out of 1,148 cars, I think.
17th overall.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah, we're the second fastest, or second or third fastest car on 200 treadwear tires.
Second or third overall fastest?
Yeah, on index.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's
really, really fast.
Yeah.
What do you think the percentage of co-driver cars is at Solonet?
Probably.
Like 20?
I would say probably 30.
Okay.
At least 30 to 35%, maybe.
And the advantage of that is somebody's always keeping the tires warm, basically.
Yeah, keeping the tires warm or helping keep them cool, ironically enough, now, since heat is like the, you know, number one problem with fast 200 treadwear tires.
Interesting.
Yeah, so.
What a different weird world. What a strange game.
But. Yeah, it's funny to see the, you know, all the ASM cars. It's kind of like the flavor of the week. They were running, I think, the Kumho V730s for quite a while, and then I ran the Falcons last year, and then we switched to the Kumhos, which I thought were just, I think they are night and day difference and better than the RT660, just at least on a front wheel drive, you know, turbocharged car that has massive heat retention issues in the front.
What size tires are you allowed to run on that?
265 is the widest on 9-inch wheels. Okay. So we ran I run a square setup on it. I had a set of the V730s and I thought they were fast, and then we got a set of the new Bridgestone RE71 RSs, and holy moly.
They're just better at autocross.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, it's basically like a Hoosier A6.
Yeah.
As far as just the grip level is just insane. They don't really care about heat. They're phenomenal in the rain. And the drop off, even though there is a little bit of a drop off compared to the Falcon, and a lot of it, I mean, I'm just comparing my autocross stuff. It doesn't seem like, from looking at all the Sunday Cup cars, I mean, they all just pound around and they're all consistent. You know, but, you know, I think like with Jimmy's car, with his GT2 RS, I mean, you know, we run the Pilot, we run the Cup 2Rs, and those are literally 2-lap tires.
Right.
You know, they come up to temperature and you've got 2 laps and then that's it.
Yep.
You can pound around, but it's like you're losing a half second a lap. So
it does seem to me that the, at least the compound generation that I have with the 660, it seems like it's better, like on lap 5, just beat the crap out of it. It just like seems to get faster and faster. That might be me, but.
I think, you know, the 205.
It feels worse and worse, but then it also goes faster and faster.
Well, I think part of it is, it's like, I think the 205 and the, you know, in reality, everybody's about 2,500 pounds. I'm like, it's kind of like the magic sweet spot on these 205s.
Right.
On an 8, they're actually stretched pretty well. And I think the biggest thing on almost all these tires is they have to be stretched.
Oh, you're not supposed to run 6.5s like me?
You can. That would help probably some of the initial turn that you are not expecting when the tire just flops over on the wheel.
Right.
The tire's like, you know what? Fine. We're going to go over here then. So, yeah.
I'm an idiot. I run tiny wheels because I have them. But
yeah, you're JDM AF, so. Yeah. And just cheap enough not to buy a set of 15x8s.
Yeah, man. I've got some 15x7s, and I feel like a baller because I got 7s.
Well, we got like 3 sets of wheels, so if you need to borrow a pair, we got them. So.
Yeah, I might need to steal a set of wheels.
And so Jimmy bought a set of the Enki RPF1s that he's wanted forever, which is ironic considering he has forge lines out the wazoo, but. And of course, they only have like a 28 millimeter offset, so the offset's like way out of whack.
Right.
It's so I'm gonna have to roll the crap out of the fenders, but
yeah, that's gonna be aggressive on me or an EG.
Yeah. So we've been messaging Coutil quite a bit. He's like, "You gotta go 18s, man. You gotta put it."
Yeah.
Like now we'll have the regular ride height EG.
Yeah, you can't tub a car in Sunday Cup.
No, and I don't. I admire his build. It's crazy. I still think he needs to be on 15s, but that's my own.
Well, dude, think how good that car right now, like slammed to the gills with all the travel it needs with 15s could be. Could be really good.
Well, and I jokingly said, he goes, you just can't compete on the 15s. I said, you know, what was the car that won nationals or won last year? I think it was an EG. It was yours on 15s.
Right.
But I mean, also I'm like his car. I mean, it's next level. I mean, it's basically the closest thing to
so wild.
A 94, you know, Japanese touring car that you could get.
Yeah. It's so good.
You know, and his attention to detail is, you know, I'm impressed and I'm.
Have you seen it in real life or no?
Yes, I saw it at in Ohio for the first event. Yeah,
dude, it's out of control. Good, it's like way too good.
Yeah, well, and I think there's a little bit of balance within. I mean, I'm subject jumping, but it's like I think that there's a little bit of a balance that I'm sure that needs to kind of happen in GLTC, but. You know, that's way above my pay grade.
There's a little bit of thought with regards to diameters and of tires.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the amount of rubber you get versus 15s versus 17s versus 18s, there's a big difference there. But so that might be a thing. There's a lot of, like, we're getting down to, for first year of, like, going to 200 treadwears, we're, like, feeling pretty good about things, but...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think you well, ultimately. Close. I mean, it is the right decision.
Yeah.
You know, but ultimately, no matter what, I'm like, you know, you can't really police shaving. You know, and I'm like, you know, people who want to win are going to spend the money.
Yeah, I think the disadvantage of having a tiny tire is definitely more apparent now, but less apparent.
Yeah, I mean, I think less apparent
with an R7. But
yeah. Whereas the Hoosiers, the R7s, I mean, they can get hot and they don't care. But I think once you get past that threshold with a 200 treadwear tire, whereas with a bigger wheel and tire package, you could dissipate the heat a little bit better. So, Eric knows what he's doing. I mean, the car is just incredible.
He did okay at Mid-Ohio, did okay at Lime Rock. And,
he'll be fast at Heartland, too. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, he's literally 2.5 weekends in. Like he ran out of Honda meet for one day, and then he ran 2 race weekends, and it got faster and faster and faster and faster. Like he's not done with the car. So,
well, I mean, you know, and like I think I'm a pretty vocal proponent of of what grid life is and and GLTC. I mean, you guys have got the balance of performance, the BOP down way better than IMSA as far as you know. You've kind of got the you know, the magic thing. You know, you've kind of got it figured out.
That's super weird to hear.
Well, I mean, I think you do. I mean, just from the simple fact, just like, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, the Corvette is fast, you know, but so are the ASM cars. I mean, I think the S2000s have like a magic
Totally different build philosophies.
Totally different build philosophies, but yeah. You know, they're all incredibly well built and they're incredibly well driven. All of them are. Yeah. So I think it's cooler than any.
It is. It does make me like. It makes me, especially watching Lime Rock and Ohio and PPIR. Watching basically two totally different styles of car, or three totally different styles of car, basically, be within tenths of a second of each other. And, like, it makes me feel like it's not totally screwed up, but, those ASM S2000s are really good. But
yeah. You know, I mean, I think they're all, well, that's the interesting thing, like, you know, from a national standpoint, as far as autocross, I'm like, ultimately, there's about three or four people that can win in a heavily subscribed class.
Right.
Barring weather, oddball conditions, anything else like that. But if you look at GLTC, I'm like, no, there's 10 people.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially at a big event, like a Midwest Festival, Mid-Ohio.
And it only takes one person missing one shift, and then like that could cascade into, you know, a 5-position driver, you know, lead change.
Right.
You know, so.
And you've got those drivers in like P5, P6, P7, and they're like, they're hoping for a mistake from the drivers ahead of them. And this year especially, like watching from the sidelines and stuff, it's like, is anybody ever going to make a mistake? Because nobody makes a mistake. Like the drivers up front, they're just dialed. Like they're practiced and they're dialed and they're not making mistakes anymore. They're not missing shifts. They're not missing apexes. They're just not missing brake zones. Everything's dialed. They're perfect.
Yeah, like the throttle traces, the steering inputs, the GPS on any of those. I mean, I'd say probably.
The funny thing is,
even mid pack, everybody's fast.
Yeah,
everybody's fast.
You go down to like P12, and it's like, well, okay, 1 second back. Okay, well. And it feels like it spreads out, and because they're like 6 seconds back at the end of the race, but like they're like 1.1 seconds off, like every lap. Yeah. Do you know what a 1.1 second off every lap is? That's really, that's like 0.02%.
I know, it's just,
it's dumb.
I mean, look at Sunday Cup. I mean, it's really not that much different either. I mean, guys are freight training each other, and you're all within, you know.
P1 through 3 is within 3/10, 4/10.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be good.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is, as clean as this car is, I'm like, if anybody hits us.
No, we're hoping nobody hits anybody in time attack. It's happened literally 4 or 5 times in time attack, and half of those times have been brand new Camaros, left front, right rear brake failures.
I know. I was there for the white one on Gingerman.
Yeah, don't remind me about that. I still feel bad for Sam about that.
Yeah, yeah. Sam got. I mean, I'm so glad that Evan was all right. I mean, then, you know.
Dude, that could have been That could have been the worst thing ever.
Yeah, that roll bar saved him for sure.
If he had not, he caged that car like 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Dude, if he had not, or like, it was like an event or two earlier. He had just put the rear roll bar in that thing.
Well, they gusseted it into the B pillars. I'm like, I saw the car. It was, you know, it's always, all this stuff's always been well done. So
yeah, it was unreal how that car took it, and it should not have taken that.
Yeah.
But if he hadn't had the Hans and the harness and the roll bar, there's a good percentage we wouldn't have an Evan anymore. So
And I think that, you know, with this car, just making sure that we got it, you know, it's just, we've got an auto power in it, or we have an auto power for it for now.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm trying to get a hold of Brock. I want to see about, you know, putting a proper 4-point in the car, actually welding one in.
Right.
You know, I don't know if the car will ever do the endurance series, but it would be nice to have a cage that you could obviously, you know, down the road, if we wanted to blow through another 25 or 30 grand to go run, you know, Club TR in it, you could put a K24 in it and do some aero, and the car would be pretty close.
It'd be fun, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the EGs, and an EG is the same as a DC, and that's what Grant Davidson has. It's basically the same car as an EK. That's what Ben Thorne has. You put a stock K24 in that thing, it's not going to go slow. But.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
also,
I mean, in reality, then, other than singles, I'm like, we all have the exact same suspension.
Yep.
You know, all of our suspension stuff is almost identical. I've been messaging Grant a little bit about stuff too over last season or so. But no, it's cool to have. I mean, the club is definitely a very, very polite, very cool group, which is, you know, it's nice to have another series to hang around and, you know, because I mean, I haven't done any real track running in probably 8 years. Yeah. But
it was kind of fun to see you inch your way into our world because of Jimmy. So.
Yeah, should be good.
How do you and Jimmy know each other, by the way?
Actually, I got to know his dad 30 years ago. You know, his father started Rock's Trailer Sales here in the early 80s in Columbus. And, I mean, I've known Jimmy, I'm 51. I knew him when he was in high school.
Right.
So I've known him for forever when he was going through college and everything else. And, he enjoyed autocrossing and, you know, we got started and his dad had run, GTL, I guess, or, GT4 and done road racing forever, probably run it up at runoffs at least 6 or 7 times. And so Jimmy's been around, racing, his whole life as well. So when he wanted to start doing some grid life stuff, on my non autocross weekends, I'm not doing soccer games with the kids or, shared parenting and all that good stuff. We've enjoyed coming out at grid life. I think I was there for the first GLTC race in Mid-Ohio.
Right.
And so we've been coming out for quite a few years. Well, not obviously as long as you guys have been around, but
yeah, but you saw me shit my pants the most at Mid-Ohio. I might have been in the announcer booth, but that first race, dude. That was the time, dude.
No, it was pretty amazing. I was pretty proud to say I was there at the first one. It was pretty damn cool.
I still can't believe how perfect that first weekend was. It was like it was like the best race weekend.
And like everything's actually been pretty stellar too. Like overall, I think
Yeah, I mean we definitely nitpick ourselves because we investigate even like tired donuts. But
yeah,
man, that first weekend.
So good.
It almost doesn't get any better.
This is either going to work or this is going to be.
So,
we're here one way or the other. This ought to be interesting.
So the night before, we're tech inspecting cars, and I'm like, so I got this like face on where it's like, yeah, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. I'm like all like fucking freaked out, and I've got good help. And then like my partner, my co-founder, my best friend forever, Chris comes up to me. He's like, so how many cars are we going to crash tomorrow? And I'm like, we are not going to crash any cars. And that's what I have to think. And that's what I have to hope. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Cause he's like, there's no way. Yeah. We're going to have, get out of here. And this is like our first real live stream. Like, why does our first real live stream have to be the first event we've ever done? We've done a few beta test live streams. And the next morning, I do the driver's meeting. I go through all this stuff. And, like, I'm still, like, I'm freaked out. Like, and everybody that was there probably still remembers how freaked out I was.
I think I was there for one of the meetings. I don't know if it was the first one or the second one. You're like, don't screw this up for
anyone. Yeah, fuck, man. It was the worst. And then I remember being in the booth, me and Tom O'Gorman are announcing the first one. And I couldn't even speak. I was so freaked out. Because I had worked for 2 years just to get the insurance to do this. Like, we had, like, it's such a process to be able to do this stuff. And
well, that's the crazy thing. People think, I mean, you've been involved with the ACCA forever as well. I mean, people think, you should do it like grid life. I'm like, do you understand the logistics behind any aspect of this?
Yeah, and from like small events to big events, it's hell.
Yeah.
Like, just to get to the point where you can legally and, like, and like covering your ass do this well, to do it right. It's not easy. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And it's been an 8-year process to get to where we are, 10-year process to get to where we are. Literally, or 20-year. We have to have, we literally have 20 years of saying, hey, we haven't killed anybody yet. Like 20 years of renting racetracks.
Yeah.
And like, it's just not, it's not easy. And it's also like this, it's this thing that you have to preserve. Like it's your precious little thing. It has to stay good. Otherwise you won't be able to do it. Because you're a small, org. Like we're a small org. We don't do 200 events. We don't do 70 events. Like,
and what do you say about basically? You've got a core audience, driver wise, of about 1,000.
Yeah, it's about 1,000 drivers. But yeah. But like GLTC drivers, we've had 200 registered GLTC drivers over the course of 4 years.
Yeah,
and probably 70 of them are repeats and regulars, which is pretty good. Pretty good average. Uh-huh. Maybe 80. But like, it's a small org, and we have to be clean. We have to be good. We have to be solid. We have to take care of each other. We have to like make sure nobody dies at the concerts. We got to keep it. Everything's got to be good. Like, it's all got to be solid. All the pieces have to fall in place forever, and we'll be good. So.
Yeah, I don't remember who was the guy at Pikes Peak.
Oh, we might not have talked about that yet, but yeah, there was a dude. He approached one of our drivers on Friday night. He said, "Hey, my name's Creature. I have
Creature." Yes, yeah.
Thank you. we like, funnily enough, we also have one of our regular and our best videographer. His nickname is Creature, but he doesn't do hard drugs, but. And he's also a giant, like 250-pound, like 6'6" guy. But so this Colorado creature, he approached one of our drivers and he was like, "I got ketamine and I have horse tranquilizer," or no, it was horse tranquilizer and acid. I guess horse tranquilizer, ketamine, whatever. I don't know about drugs.
Yeah, not a good combination. But,
do you want any? And the driver was like, "I'm good, man." And like 5 minutes later, Creature is on the ground, heart stopped, turning purple. The EMTs are working on Mr. Creature, and
get him the old Narcan shot.
So, do you know anything about Narcan? I didn't up until this event.
It makes dead people alive.
Yeah, so if you like take the things you're not supposed to, like it will maybe reverse your body's effect on the things, but. So, like, one hit will, like, wake most people up when they are having a bad day with whatever they chose to take. This big MF-er took 6 hits of Narcan, and I think he took paddles to the chest. And then he stood up like a stoned-out Lazarus and walked into the ambulance. And then the next day, he shows back up at the event and thanked the EMTs, and he was like, ready to party again. It's like, man, just go home, dude.
I don't want to get the waiver. I don't
stop
want to
it, man.
Just work out.
How? I should have been able to deactivate your ticket, but fuck. that was the only thing we've had like that before. But
yeah,
that was not fun though. But I'm glad. All the planning, like it. One of the big pieces of planning was because of the drug problems they're having in that area.
Yeah.
Was like, hey, anybody that wants to learn how to work a Narcan stick can learn how to work a Narcan stick. So, we had the right people in the right place. We had the right thoughts in mind, and homeboy's okay. I hope he lives to be 85, but I don't have high hopes. But I'm crossing my fingers for him. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, well, I'm going to go to bed. It's Sunday night. We've both cross-threaded things and wrecked things on our Sunday Cup cars. And
yes, and our better halves are...
Yeah, our teacher spouses are in bed long ago.
So. Going, why haven't you come up to bed yet?
Yep.
So.
Well, I live in a ranch house, so I don't have to come up to bed. I have to come over to bed. So.
No, okay. Well, you got to get out of the Lexus.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully we can do this again with Abe, so we can, after Heartland Park, and that way we can, you know.
Are you going to be at Heartland Park or no?
I don't think I am. We've got my son's a freshman in high school, and we've got band and band performance and homecoming and everything else. Yeah, so
that one time at band camp.
Yeah. So we will be, you know, we'll get the car ready. Jimmy will run it. We'll see how we can do. Hopefully he can be within 2 seconds, as I've said.
Dude, so. I'm going to give him so much bad advice on front wheel drive cars.
Well, he drove my EK hatch with the K24 for a couple years.
Dude, I just know he's going to come up to me and be like, so how come this car is doing this? And I'm going to give him the absolute opposite advice. So, Jim, you want to have about a 1 inch of toe in. And does he have the rear
rake?
Does he have the rear sway bar hooked up? Because you want to unhook that. Because I don't know why he put that on there. Dude, Tipple doesn't know anything about anything.
No. Whatever he said is wrong. Never mind those.
That little guy? Don't worry about that little guy.
Well, actually, Mike Jansen is going to be with him as well. So yeah, Mike's helped out a little bit. So yeah, so Mike's a great guy. So
should be fun. I'm looking forward to Heartland, and I wish you could be there, but it's going to be a fun weekend if you're there or not. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to next year too. So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, try and split up the events where we can, you know. Run the car and
seat time,
yeah. And you know, and I think he'll actually, ironically enough, you know, he's got a GT2 RS, and yet, you know, he loves a Civic Type R. You know, it's like, you know, different cars for different reasons can still, you know,
yeah,
can still be enjoyable.
Yeah, and he's also building all kinds of other things. But
yeah, and then we can talk about the Lotus. That's another.
Yeah, I didn't think there's a lot to say what it was, but.
Yeah, it's a Lotus Exige. So. Yeah,
there's a few Time Attack nerds out there that like, kind of have like inklings that it exists. And I'm like, when's that thing coming out? That Lotus that we're not supposed to know about. I don't know, man.
If it ever gets done, it's going to be. It's going to be nuts. So, but you know, Houghton's, you know, center cockpit tube frame chopped.
If it'll, if that ever gets done.
Yeah. So. Right. He's in the same boat that every other unlimited car is right now. I'm like, it'll get done when it gets done. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a hard road to hoe, man.
You mean 900 horsepower through a front wheel drive chassis? What could possibly go wrong?
It's really a terrible idea.
Yep. All right, buddy. It was good talk. I mean, I don't like you, and we're probably gonna fight.
Yeah, we're supposed to fight. I heard we're supposed to fight. It's gonna be fun.
Okay, buddy.
We're into this thing for over an hour. I think we did an hour.
Oh, man. Yeah. Good times, buddy.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. Later.
Adios.
Bye.
Oh, man, that was fun. What a good dude. I like the guy a lot. I just randomly met him in a paddock a couple years ago. And we've been Facebook messaging back and forth. And I'm like, oh, I know that guy's name. He's done autocross stuff. But good dude, good friend of our buddy Jimmy Rauch. And I just love the grid life world. I love the ecosystem. I love the people that we get to meet. But randomly, if you need a clutch, hit up our buddies at Action Clutch. I think there is a promo code Adam because that's my name. But I will be putting one of those into my Sunday Cup car soon. My Civic has an Action Clutch that I bought in 2007, and I have done hundreds of drag passes, 110, maybe 115 HPDE and GLTC and Time Attack days on track. And the last time that I looked at it, it still looked great. So hit our buddies up over there, and we've got all of our friends that sponsor us, support us, etc., Fields Auto Works. FCP Euro, all your parts are guaranteed for life. And I don't know, Apex Track Coach, all kinds of great people. It's Sunday night. I have hated my car. I literally flicked off my fit 15 times. So thanks, Jason Tipple. And we'll talk to you, buddy, soon.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jubé, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes and come and find us in the pits at a grid live to say hello.